Thanks, Jazanga. I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 6, if you want to turn there. While you're turning there, let me remind you, if you are a lady, there is a conference on the 16th and 17th of September in Newcastle, Elim. If you want to go, let us know and we'll help you get there and sort tickets out for you. I have no idea who's speaking. I have no idea what's happening. But I'm sure it'll be wonderful. Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to read from verse 24. Jesus says, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." I'm going to try and speak to you about worry. I read a commentary this week, and the commentator said that for many of us, the instruction, "Do not worry," may as well be, "Do not breathe." Because it's so distant from how we live our lives. Anxiety seems to be on every corner. There always seems to be something worth worrying about. And probably now more than ever, for many of us. Not only is there a war going on, and are we coming out the back of a pandemic, but now things have got very close to home, and apparently we've got a cost of living crisis. And I'll be honest with you, like, over the last probably month or 6 weeks, I've thought more about my finances than I probably have in the entirety of my existence. And worry seems to be totally legitimate in our lives. It seems to have a total legitimate place. There's always a reason to worry. There's always something to give us cause for concern. But Jesus, in 6 verses, asks 5 questions of the legitimacy of some of their worries. In 6 verses, asks 5 questions. Is your life not more than food? And your body more than clothes? It's a really interesting question, isn't it? Is your life more than food and your body more than clothes? I did some Googling. So if the information's wrong, it's Google's fault. Apparently, I can survive up to 2 months without food. I can survive apparently up to 70 days without food. I mean, not me necessarily, but somebody can. Apparently with 3 days without water, I'll be stuffed. But in only a matter of minutes without air, I'm in a totally different position again. Is your life more than food? Is food sufficient to sustain your life? No. There's a whole lot more that my life requires than food, apparently. Are clothes enough to make my body function? I am not an expert in biology, but I can answer that question really easily. Some of you know it doesn't matter how well you dress yourselves, you still feel it somewhere. It doesn't matter what you put on. And actually, I think the 5 questions that Jesus asks are worth answering. I think they're worth exploring. So he goes on to say, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Are you not much more valuable than they? Matthew 10:29 says, are not 2 sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside of your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. I didn't want you to leave that up to answering it according to your self-esteem. You're worth more than the birds of the air. You're more valuable than them. And Psalm 147 and verse 9 says, he provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they call. And verse 32 of Matthew chapter 6 tells me my heavenly Father knows what I need. He asks the question, can any one of you by worrying add a single life, a single hour to your life? And the question essentially is, what does worry produce? What does it produce? It can't add a single hour to your life. Psalm 139 and verse 16 says, your eyes saw my unformed body, and all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. God's decided what happens with my life. So what does worry produce? And this is really what I want to get to. Because I'm going to tell you that Matthew chapter 6 suggests that worry produces a divided allegiance. I read from verse 24. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. The word translated therefore is literally because of this, I tell you, do not worry about your life. I'm not meant to worry about my life, what I eat and drink, or what I wear, because I can't serve two masters. I cannot serve both God and money. And because of that, I'm not meant to worry about my life, what I eat and drink and what I wear. And I'm familiar with this chunk of Bible a little bit. I think I've heard it a few times. I want you to think about those words. You cannot serve both God and money. Let me tell you something I never think I've ever done in my life when I read it initially. I don't think I've ever served money. I don't think I've ever served money. I understand serving God. I understand the God of the universe who speaks and gives direction, who has commands and things for me to walk out and follow. I understand, but serving money? I imagined if I asked people walking down the street, do you serve money? They'd just look at you really weirdly, wouldn't they? It's an inanimate object. And can I encourage you, just in that note, I'm really familiar with this chunk of Bible, but familiarity often causes you to miss some things that it's actually saying. You can become too familiar with some stuff. Read what it says. The same phrase is repeated in Luke 16:13. You cannot serve both God and money. So what on earth does it mean to serve money? What does it mean? Because whilst I think most people would look at me strangely if I asked them, do you serve money? If I asked you, did you orient your life around maximizing finance and wealth? Did the decisions you make primarily rest on a financial one? Did the whole activities of your life lead towards producing wealth in your life? That's a much more personal question, isn't it? If every decision, thought, and objective of my life is related to finance, if the goal for me is money, if the question is money, what's dictating the course of my life? And suddenly my life is in service to something that's meant to serve me. Because everything I do is overwhelmed by this thing of money. And I don't need money to serve money. Sometimes we're good at beating up rich people in faith. But actually, there's a whole lot of us who don't have money. And every decision we're making is dictated by money. And our whole lives revolve around acquiring money. And whether or not we get money. And so I end up making money my master. And I put it in control. You cannot serve both God and money. And if the objective of my life, and the heart I have, and the decisions and the output of my life is all based around finance, I'm going to tell you, you're serving money. And that means I can't serve God. Because no one can serve two masters. You either love one and hate the other, or you're devoted to one and despise the other. And in a season of time where apparently, legitimately, I'm meant to concern myself primarily with my finances, where everything I will hear is about a living cost of living crisis and money, I wanted to urge you, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, what you'll wear, because no one can serve two masters. Don't worry about your life, what you'll eat and drink, what you'll wear, because no one can serve two masters. I think that's what Matthew 6 says. No one can serve two masters. You'll either love one and hate the other, be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money, therefore, do not worry. Why? Because worry urges me to resolve the issue myself. Worry urges me to resolve the issue myself. What am I going to eat? It's going to get expensive. Times are hard. Maybe I could earn more money doing this. Maybe I could take a step to do that. So what God's asking of you? Or is money now your master? See, my Heavenly Father knows what I need. So Matthew 6 and verse 8 says. Verse 7 says, when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Verse 8, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Matthew 6 and verse 31. Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all of these things, and your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. He's not unaware this morning. He's not unaware of the events in the earth. He's not unaware of your financial position. He's not unaware of the things that you need. And apparently he's a God who's able to produce food from nothing. Manna in the wilderness. Ravens bringing his servant food. My God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. And I am not here this morning saying be irresponsible. But there is a distinction between money serving you and you serving money. I think for a long time the church has told people that the antidote to worry is prayer. And I understand why. Because Philippians 4 verse 6 says, don't be anxious about everything, anything but with everything. With prayer and petition, present your request to God, and the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. My concern is that a lot of us aren't really confident about who we're praying to. So we get worried and we just say a prayer. But actually, if I don't have confidence in who I'm placing my trust in, it's a totally different thing. The reason I can have peace when I've presented my request to God is because I know that there is nobody better to entrust my welfare to. There's nobody better to entrust any situation to. There's nobody better to call upon in any crisis or need, because he is the God who is sovereign over all things. The one who's able to do immeasurably more than I have the capacity to conceive in my mind. But if what I do is pray and go, well, I don't know, maybe he will, maybe he won't, maybe he... Actually, can I urge you? Get to know him. Get to know him. It will make a difference to your prayer life. Some of you are wondering why you've prayed about it and you still don't have peace. Peace that surpasses any understanding, that doesn't make sense in the circumstances, that doesn't have a legitimate reason to exist. I actually think it's because you don't know he's your father sometimes. And I say all of that because you can't turn the news on, listen to the radio, find a paper and open it, if they still exist. Go on the BBC app on your phone, whatever you do, and not find people who are worried about their life, what they'll eat, what they'll drink, what they'll wear, how they're going to make it through. And it seems perfectly legitimate. My concern for you is you cannot serve two masters. And worry apparently divides your allegiance, at least. Your heavenly Father knows what you need. And for some of you, that might be supernatural provision. And for some of you, you might have to just struggle through the winter. Things might be less comfortable than they once were. But I'm trusting in the sovereignty of God. I'm trusting that all of my days were written in his book before one of them came to pass. I am placing my confidence in the fact that before I was conceived in my mother's womb, he knew me. And all of my days have been ordained. All of them. I don't want the season of time to lead me from serving God, to pull me away, to distract my attention. Because whilst I do everything I can to sustain myself, to support my life and uphold it, I neglect a whole lot of things he does for me to sustain my life and uphold it. I'm conscious about what I eat. I am rarely conscious about what I'm breathing. I walk about my life in total ignorance, assuming there'll just be oxygen for me. I have bottled water in my house. Here's what's staggering. The people who put it in the bottle don't make it. They don't make it. They just package up what God's already produced. He's providing for me more than I give him credit for. And if he looks after the birds and he dresses the lilies, and the lilies, they're more glorious than Solomon was in all of his splendor. What are you panicked for? Why are you worrying? Because Jesus doesn't seem to think it's so legitimate. Are you not worth more than the birds of the air? The lilies of the field that are here today and gone tomorrow, he clothes them. How much more will he clothe you? Please don't get distracted. You cannot serve two masters. And I've never given real thought to my life serving money. But actually, it makes perfect sense when I think about it. That everything I do can be oriented around something. And my whole objective in life, the primary thoughts I have, the primary considerations I give, I have to make a choice. Because I can't serve both. I'll shut up. Should we stand together and worship?